This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, June 8th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead, Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com on Arkansas's latest economic numbers and the recent passing of a Fort Smith business legend. And Meredith Martin-Motes explains why the weekly small-town newspaper is still vital. We'll begin with Moshe Koff, writer, University of Arkansas assistant professor of English, Syrian-born and New Jersey-raised American, and an organizer of an event in Fayetteville this weekend to make more people aware of the struggles inside Syria, where one-party government has been the rule for nearly 50 years. She just returned to Fayetteville this week after attending a conference in Turkey dedicated to spreading the word about the move toward democracy in Syria. Earlier this week, she came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio at KUAF, and I asked her about that conference in Turkey and its attendees.
Including, to our excitement, four who smuggled themselves out of Syria and had been living the brutal repression of the last 2 or 3 months.
How were you able to come together and to schedule this and to create the conference?
Oh, it was a mess. Scheduling and bringing people together was a mess. Just gaining a level of trust for the core organizing committees was a mess because we're Syrians. And, you know, there's a government double agent lurking under every mask. No, we have a lot to overcome. You know, Syrian paranoia born of 48 years of super surveillance of all the citizens and so on. So a core group of Syrian businessmen began working with a number. They reached out to a number of opposition people, and they began inviting people and seeking more invitations to reflect all of the diversity of Syria. And as people began to be convinced, you know, they began to sign on and then recruit others. I recruited a half dozen others to also push up the number of women at the conference, the number of Christian Syrians, the number of other groups representing Syria's weave. I myself only decided to go with a seven days in advance.
Wow. If someone follows you in social media, Facebook, I don't know if you tweet, but I do. Okay, and I am very aware of your Facebook posts. You have been keeping this in front of your Facebook friends for some time.
Yes, that's all my Facebook is devoted to right now.
Coming back from the conference empowered even more to get more people aware.
Yes.
And interested.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, there will be an event in Fayetteville.
Yes, 11 o'clock on June 11th. We will have a beautiful moment for Syria, sort of just a flash moment where we will educate people very briefly using pictures of prisoners and victims of the Syrian repression of the last 2 months, and then suggest a concrete step that can be taken right now.
There's a big challenge. There are many things that people pay attention to. This is very dear to your heart. This is your home. People are dying. But translating that immense passion you have to people who are thousands of miles away, who might be thinking of whether there's going to be a smoking ban in their city or who's going to win the NBA Finals, that's an uphill battle, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I can connect it to anything you give me, man. Can you talk about sports and athletic events? The football stadiums, the soccer stadiums in Syria are now torture warehouses. They have run out of room in the prisons, and they are abusing athletic facilities to truss prisoners up, lay them face down, just stockpiled in the stadium in Banias, the coastal city, and in Daraz 2 stadium, and to run motorcycles over trussed up prisoners and stomp them. I mean, there are videos of this, and to otherwise torture them. So we have written to the World Cup Association, and we also urge people to write to the World Cup Association to urge that Syria be suspended. I know it's not the soccer players' fault, but the Syrian regime should not be welcome anywhere in the international community right now. A group of youths who in Daraya, a Damascus suburb, began organizing themselves into citizens initiatives to combat corruption, where pharmacists and other people will take they will take bribes for medicines and so on. Also worked on trying to get something of a smoking ban. So there you go. Connect it to any issue you want. I can connect. And they're all among it's a nonviolence group called the Daraya Youth Movement. You're not allowed to form citizens' initiatives in Syria. You haven't been ever allowed. Anything that you form, that you organize, is immediately suspect. A citizen is stripped of any efficacy. You can't go to a town council meeting and just talk about your opinion about anything on the agenda unless you have party permission. And it's been a mandate in the Constitution that there be one-party state and one-party control of all political activities of citizens. And so some of these same youths were arrested in 2000, 2003, and they're now like 29, 30, and they've been arrested again for going out and demanding freedom and a democratic secular state in Syria with real government accountability, separation of powers, which Syria does not have right now.
What do you hope will come out of Saturday? It's in the Fayetteville Square, so it'll be during the Fayetteville Farmers Market. What do you hope someone takes away from this?
There's been very little mainstream media coverage of Syria because there's so many other things going on, and Syria's a little country. And so I hope that people's awareness is raised, that bigger and bigger circles of awareness enlarge in Fayetteville among the general population, among the population with any sort of roots or ties to Syria, and that they pass the word. And maybe we'll get a flood of emails and to the UN Security Council, which is right now, this is hot right now, these couple of days, is drafting a resolution to condemn Syria. And there are expected to be two holdout members against passing the resolution, China and Russia. So, and also to sign a petition. There's a massive petition being signed for Amnesty International and the ICC to bring Bashar Assad, the dictator of Syria, bring him to court for crimes against humanity. So we may even have laptops set up there, and people can sign, if they're moved to sign or email those things right then and there, they can do that.
This conference in Turkey with 300 people concerned about what's happening in Syria, do you think you and your fellow attendees left optimistic?
Yes. It was a strengthening moment for those who are with the pro-democracy movement in Syria, and it was a blow to the regime. And we came up with a conference statement that affirmed, you know, people were saying, well, who is this Syrian opposition? We don't know who they are, which baffled me. You know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, they've been calling out in unison in Syria. We don't know what their demands are. And here they are on the street calling out, freedom, freedom, you know. So there was this affirmation of, we want a secular democratic state that guarantees individual freedoms, that has a separation of judicial, legislative, and executive powers, that is accountable to the people, that there will be transitions of power and not one person or one party monopolize power for 48 years. This was all clearly spelled out, that it is nonviolent, that it is deeply committed to nonviolence, that it is deeply committed to non-sectarianism, meaning there is no targeting of one minority or another. This is not a movement based on religious background or sect that one belongs to. And there were people, there were Christians, there were Alawites, there were Sunni and Shia Muslims. In terms of religious minorities, Druze, there, in terms of ethnic minorities, there were Kurds and Circassians and Turkmen and Assyrians, and all of Syria's beautiful weave was there.
Moja says one of the most fascinating aspects of the emerging Syrian story is the small southern town, Dahra, that has become a flashpoint for rebellion against the government.
Never heard of it. I mean, I know more than the major cities of Syria. I may not have grown up there, but I teach Syria, right? I teach Syrian literature and all of that. Dahra, who knew? And it's this, you know, no offense, but it's like, it's the hillbillies of Syria. And they took this, man. They took this. And the people from Dahra, and there was a guy from Dahra who had smuggled himself out to the conference. They have been saying for weeks, Dahra is free. There are, aside from the army holding us down, I mean, there are no Ba'ath offices open. Ba'ath is the one party. There are no Ba'ath party offices open. There are no government, there are no pictures of the president left in the whole province, not just the city. And people are free on the inside. People have broken out of that cage of silence that Syria has been called for decades, for 50 years. I mean, I asked a Tunisian democracy expert who trains people in democracy, because we wrote, you know, honestly, and I'm sorry to the Syrian people inside for this, but the Syrian people outside, many of us had just written off the Syrian people inside. I mean, they've been under that for so long. And people would say things like, you know, the people left inside, all the good people left. The people who are left inside have all just sold their souls to the Ba'ath Party. Well, so I asked, and throughout the years I've had many frustrating conversations with cousins and so on. So I asked this guy, he was here for a lecture at the U of A a few weeks ago, what makes people who have grown up with no freedom of speech, no freedom of assembly, no sense of personal freedom, no sense of political freedom, what makes them know to ask for those freedoms? And he said, being human. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kyle.
Moja Koff is an assistant professor at the University of Arkansas in the Department of English, and she's an organizer of an 11 o'clock event Saturday morning on the Fayetteville Square to raise awareness about Syria. There is much more from our conversation that you can hear online at OzarksAtLarge.com.